Nearly 3 dozen Warden soldiers lay in pieces in their wake.
I'm going ahead,
Caden shouted to his companions, bracing his legs beneath himself as he shouted. Personal skill use! Leap attack! The jump carried him from the bank of the river a few feet from the bridge to the middle of it, his sword quite literally disarming one of the Warden troops on the newly constructed earthen bridge as he landed. Two more struggled to bring their long weapons to bear in the packed crowd, but they were unable to get them in line with Caden's body before he intoned 2 words of runic power.
Jagara Karatha!
A wave of magical force pulsed from 2 of Caden's upraised fingers, followed by an immense explosion that cracked the earth beneath his feet, but thankfully did not shatter it. The Wardens nearest him, on the other hand, had no such luck, their bodies detonating into little more than gravel as they were blown away from him. Those a little further away were knocked off their feet, the majority blown clear off the side of the bridge and into the water below. The water wouldn't hurt them, he knew. It might even save them from the fire, but it got them out of the way, which was all he could have asked for.
You are going to need to explain that later,
Dinah shouted as she ran past him, her axe whirling once over her head before collapsing down onto the torso of a Warden soldier struggling to recover from the blast. Caden laughed. He'd always been garbage at keeping secrets for long. Past the bridge, the density of the Warden soldiers began to thin dramatically, which in turn allowed Caden and his companions to pick up the pace to a full run. Here or there, a Warden soldier would issue forth from a building or a nearby formation, but in ones and twos, the typical Warden soldier was no threat at all to any of them. Skill level up. Sprint. Type. Passive. Skill level. Novice level 9. Effect. Improved running speed by 13%. Cost, 9.2 TP per second, plus penalty for armor weight. The notification at the edge of Caden's hub drew another laugh. His skills had the worst, or maybe the best possible timing when it came to level ups.
I don't suppose either of you can jump?
Caden asked after nearly 2 minutes of running. Ahead of them, one of their barricades accented his query, a 10-foot-tall mound of burning refuse that would have been impossible for a normal human to safely circumvent. The question earned nothing more than dirty looks from his compatriots. A man in the heaviest armor a player could buy, and a woman with an axe bigger than he was. It kinda was a dumb question.
I think there is a path around if we—
No need,
Dinah interrupted with a smirk.
Just keep out of the way. Skill use, Earth Splitter.
Ash skidded to a stop just before that boundless inferno, her right leg bracing beneath her as she brought the head of her axe behind her body. Its edge glowed with a violet light as its owner drew a deep breath, readied herself, and attacked. The light of her weapon cut an arc through the air that it was almost hard to look at, the sudden impact of the blade reverberating through Caden's very bones like a nearby artillery strike. Its effect was an order of magnitude more than he'd expected, the edge of the axe a mere forward to the shockwave that quelled fires and sent material flying in every direction. In the aftermath of the strike, a third of the barricade was just gone. A neat hole cut clear through the center of the enormous pile with only a deep gouge in the cobblestone and a slightly smaller crater around it to mark it as an attack.
"Remind me not to piss you off," Michael said, his wide-eyed expression belying the casual way he joked about what he'd just seen.
"Never a good idea to tick off a brutalist," Caden said, his eyes on Dinah. "That is your class, isn't it?"
Dinah gave him a sidelong look as they filtered through the now open gap and began to sprint once more.
"What gave it away?"
It was a rhetorical question, Caden knew. Only one class in all of Babel had attacks of that magnitude. The Brutalist class was a case study in extremes. They used the largest two-handed weapons they could find to inflict the maximum amount of possible damage with each and every hit, with almost nothing devoted to speed or endurance, and only a token to defense. High-level Brutalist techniques, like the one she had just demonstrated, could routinely drain a third or more of their user's TP in a single strike while generating positively absurd amounts of threat as a result. Coupled with the ponderous nature of their attacks, most Brutalist fights were short and, well, brutal. One way or the other.
It was a class Caden had never even considered picking at character select, but that had more to do with his particular style of gameplay than any inherent flaw with the class. There was definitely something to be said for being able to end a fight in a single powerful technique. It just wasn't for him.
"We should be getting close, shouldn't we?" Michael asked.
"Unless she or the officer turned off somewhere, yeah."
On a regular day, they would have been able to see Sarah by now. In fact, they probably would have been able to see her from the keep itself with the road as empty as it was. The smoke made that impossible, however. Rolling plumes of thick black smoke emanated from nearly every nearby surface. The light from those same fires the only thing keeping them from being immersed in total confusing blackness as they ran. If this weren't Babel, they'd also be choking to death by now, Caden knew. Instead, there was just a debuff, a slow damage over time effect that was little more than a nuisance by now. In roughly 5 minutes, it would upgrade to something more dangerous, and 5 minutes after that, their HP and TP would begin to drop precipitously, whether they were in combat or not. He should have been worried, but then again, if they were still in combat 10 minutes from now, Caden was sure they had bigger concerns to deal with.
"Ilyus! Izuna!"
The shout from ahead of them was just barely audible over the crackling fires that surrounded them. It was Sarah. Before he could celebrate, however, a sudden gust of wind nearly threw the three of them from their feet. A heavy curtain of smoke followed an instant behind the wall of pressure, stinging their eyes as they passed through it, and briefly upping the shallow damage of the smoke inhalation DOT. As they emerged from the other side of the smoke, the trio found that what they could not see seconds before was, for the moment at least, now as clear as day. Sarah, perhaps 50 feet ahead of her, would be back up. She was moving with speed unlike anything Caden had ever seen in person. Videos of higher-level players had never really done them justice, and though Sarah was only mid-level by the modern standards of Babel, she was still a sight to behold as she swerved this way and that. Her curvaceous body simultaneously dodged the blades of 4 separate footmen, along with the much more dangerous spear point of the mounted officer.
"So much for getting to her before she got to him," Michael remarked with a certain smugness.
"Clear out the mooks,"
Caden instructed, struggling not to rise to the bait as they advanced.
"Command! Party invite! Desdemona!"
A split second later, Caden got to enjoy his own sense of self-righteous satisfaction as Sarah glanced in their direction, did a double take, and glanced back again. If she'd had the time or the opening, Caden was reasonably sure some rude gesture would have accompanied that double take, but instead she was forced to accept his invitation as she shouted her displeasure.
"Idiot! What are you doing here?"
"Oh, don't you even start with me,"
Caden snapped back, moving at a dead run towards the melee.
"I'm not letting you suicide by Warden, and you know it. We've got the small fry. You take down Kahuna."
Sarah's expression screamed her displeasure, but there was no time for argument. Instead, she called out another skill use, drew her arms into her sides in a defensive combat stance, then threw them out as one of the Warden troops was fool enough to attack her. Her counterattack struck harder than it had any right to, the impact of her punch and the spin kick that followed sending the lower-level Warden troops sprawling, most of them in Caden's direction, where he happily scooped up their attention with a use of his taunt. What were small fry for Sarah were still meaningful opponents for Caden's impromptu party. The earlier battles had depleted a sizable amount of their TP, a loss that had mostly persisted as they spent TP running and lost yet more to the damaging effect of the smoke. Fighting 4 elite Warden soldiers without access to a healer while half exhausted would have been a tall order if Sarah hadn't already knocked out nearly a third of their HP as more of an afterthought.
"No, no, no. You're fighting over here. Personal skill use. Taunt!"
Caden commanded as his previous use of the ability expired. Sarah's threat was so overwhelming that his taunt was struggling to keep up with it, even after she was no longer fighting them. Sarah's battle with the officer had taken her nearly 20 feet away in a handful of heartbeats. He had reach on her, and a skill with his spear that would rival any of the old wushu films Caden had watched in his youth. The stone weapon whirled this way and that. a bright red tassel painted so lifelike along its tip that for a moment Caden mistook it for fabric. Foot by foot, the mounted officer was driving Sarah back, though he was doing little damage in the process. Each thrust or slash with that razor-sharp point was met with a head fake or a juke. Sarah's body was constantly out of line with the weapon, her palm parrying the haft of the weapon when it came too close, a flip carrying her a half-dozen feet back when the officer committed to a thrust. The battle was nothing like the first time he'd seen Sarah fight. Back then, during his last attempt at rescuing her, she had been so far above the people she'd been fighting that she had only taken it as seriously as her anger allowed. A split-legged skirt flowed beneath her as Sarah danced beneath a sidelong swing of the weapon's point. She turned from defense to offense in the blink of an eye as she took to the air and threw a quick 1-2 combo. The sound of Sarah's fists striking stone was enough to make Caden wince in sympathy, but it wasn't enough to stop her as her slippered feet found purchase on the neck of the officer's mount. The thing bucked, of course, but not before Sarah was able to lay out another brutal combination that sent the officer reeling back in his saddle. It lashed out at her as she retreated, the haft of the officer's spear catching Sarah in midair with such force that it threw her into, or rather, through the wreckage of a nearby flaming building.
"Is she okay?"
Michael asked as his penetrating strike skill lived up to its namesake by tearing a neat hole clean through the torso of one of their three, now two, remaining warden opponents.
"You think something like that will put her down?"
Caden scoffed, putting his back into a shoulder rush as he drove one of the officer's bodyguards back into the path of a mighty uppercut from Ash.
"Check her AP. She is barely under half."
As if on cue, Sarah's voice echoed from the top floor of the burning building, a blur of motion erupting from its roof.
"Personal skill use? Dragon hammer flash? Disaster!"
The officer had been under no more illusion that his attack had killed Sarah than Caden had, but his preparedness meant nothing in the face of Sarah's speed. The spear came up to meet Sarah as she plummeted from the sky, but she dodged its point with an almost disdainful ease. It would have still been enough to keep her from her intended target if he had been her intended target to begin with. Instead, the falling axe kick scythed clean through the torso of the officer's mount, killing the statuesque creature in a single instant and dropping its rider unceremoniously to the ground. Just in time for Sarah to lay a knee to his chest and begin a positively epic beatdown. If what had come before was superhuman to the point of absurdity, the beating Sarah laid to the officer was charmingly in the realm of reality. It had more in common with a UFC fight night than some shonen anime, her slender body pressing down onto the officer with all of its weight, while her fists and elbows engaged in good old-fashioned ground and pound that would have been right at home in any back-alley brawl. There was no skill used, let alone any skill use, as Sarah rained blows down upon her pinned opponent. It wasn't even much of a fight, with Sarah in her element and the officer entirely out of his. If nothing else, it reminded him of how far downhill a game of Dungeons and Dragons could go once a player figured out the grapple rules. A referee would have stopped the fight, and despite the danger they were all in, Caden couldn't help but mutter a quote under his breath.
"Stop, stop, he's already dead."
If only it were so simple. A lance of stone erupted from just out of view, the head of it catching Sarah cleanly in the abdomen as she drew back for another punch. The force of the magic sent the blue-haired girl sprawling, her HP dropping precipitously into the red. Its source was nearby, the robe-clad warden already working his hands through the motions of another spell that might have been enough to finish the job. And Caden was in no position to stop him.
"No, you don't! Personal skill use! Throw object!"
The words were Dinah's, punctuated by a grunt of exertion as that enormous great axe left her outstretched fingers. It tumbled end over end towards a mage who was suddenly far less interested in completing his spell than he was remaining alive. The caster threw himself sideways, narrowly avoiding the scything blade as it embedded itself in the wall of a nearby business.
"Return!"
Dinah instructed, the weapon rematerializing in her hand, its owner already at a full run towards the mage.
"I've got him! You cover her!"
"Sarah! I've got—" "Damn it!"
Caden swore. He was too late. Potions, like most MMO consumables, were limited in their use. You could drink any potion you wanted, but once you did, there was a timed period before you could use another. In Babel, this took the form of toxicity. If he were to take another potion within a few minutes of his first one, the second would apply a potion effect commensurate to the strength of the benefit the potion could have provided. Drinking too many potions could literally poison you to death, so if you were going to use one, always use the best. Which made it immensely frustrating to watch as Sarah finished downing one of her quick-slotted items, a medium-strength potion that didn't even return her to half health rather than the full healing elixir he held in his hand.
"Just cannot catch a break tonight,"
Caden growled, sweeping aside the downswing of a hammer as one of the small train of warden soldiers that had been following them finally caught up. Two quick swings of his sword and a single Southern Cross thanked the soldier for his bravery and left Caden with just enough time to think. Things were going downhill fast. They were already nearing the end of the minor smoke inhalation debuff, which meant Silver was well on her way into the medium variant. He knew for a fact that she wouldn't be able to hold up for long once the severe version kicked in, no matter how good her moves were. He had to make a decision.
"Help Dinah," Caden told Michael.
"What? No. Where you go, I go."
He turned on the armored man, eyes narrowed.
"Michael, this is not the time for this. The two of you can take down that mage if you land that unstoppable, but we won't be able to get the officer with the mage shooting at us. Let's take some kind of win out of this."
Caden made it 3 feet before he felt Michael's hand on his shoulder.
"Caden, you aren't..."
"Michael,"
he replied, his voice icy.
"You wanted to be a part of our party so bad? Well, part of that means doing what you are told. Go help Dinah or find yourself another party."
With the helmet on, Michael's expression was inscrutable, but his body language was not. Frustration, anger, perhaps even humiliation. And then, without a word, acceptance. Sarah's battle with the officer had progressed a significant distance down the smoke-filled streets by the time Caden looked back. The warden, Temujin, was on the offensive once again, his attacks slightly more reserved this time. He'd had some respect for Sarah before, but if wardens could feel fear, this one certainly showed all the signs. It was a stalemate not at all in Sarah's favor, not as the flames licked out and the fire grew thicker. So Caden changed it. His body rocked into the side of Temujin's body as his leap attack concluded. The damage was minimal, but it broke his balance in a way that Caden was more than happy to exploit. A swing of his other arm came next, a shield bash whose stun would only last a tiny fraction of its normal duration against a higher-level boss mob. That fraction was all Sarah needed.
"Custom skill use! Psycho Dragon combo!"
Sarah cried, bounding forward with a four-hit combination. A left-hand jab inflicted another stun on the wounded officer, then a blow to the body from her right doubled him over. A second jab removed his balance almost entirely, just in time for the final kick to strike him along the jawline. The whole sequence finished in just under a second. Caden realized he probably looked as surprised as the stumbling officer did. Custom skill use was a comparatively little-known facet of Babel. Use most often for PvP, it allowed a player to modify the pattern of an existing skill to make it more difficult to dodge, at the cost of being immensely more difficult to utilize. The game offered no assistance with custom skills, and they had to be performed flawlessly to avoid a penalty. That Sarah not only had a custom skill, but was able to use it this well despite how rusty she must have been, was startling. Ash wouldn't be the only one with questions for later.
"Sarah, it is time to go,"
Caden said, moving to put himself a step between Sarah and her downed foe.
"Once we've got him—"
"No, Sarah. Now," Caden pressed. How long do you have before you start choking?
Long enough,
she scowled. He moved to take another step between them, but Sarah brushed past him, rushing to Mugen once again as the latter sought to bring his spear into action.
Sarah, you... Ugh!
Caden, Silver's voice reverberated in his ear. It cut in and out, its clarity increasing as Sarah pressed Temujin further and further down the street.
The wardens have broken through. They'll have the whole curtain wall within the minute. I think it is time for us to go.
We aren't going to get there anytime soon, he complained.
He'd blindsided the warden officer once, but that wouldn't happen again. They were just too fast, their moves too crisp and practiced for him to edge in upon their battle.
Get everyone out and have Victoria close the portal. We'll find our own way home.
A second passed, then Silver replied, his headset indicating that she'd switched to a one-on-one channel.
Be careful, okay?
Perish the thought that other people might hear you care, huh? He teased.
Hoped you wouldn't notice. Aren't you a little busy?
Her voice positively dripped with sarcasm.
I see all,
Caden said in his best over-the-top voice of God. Laughter played through the connection as Silver giggled in spite of herself.
Don't die, you idiot.
If either had anything more to say, there was no more chance to say it as his calm went dead once more. Whether by luck or by design, Sarah had turned the battle back in his direction, her pressure presenting him with the officer's rear as the warden was driven back in his direction.
Skill use. Leap attack,
Caden uttered under his breath, not wanting to draw attention to his re-entry into the battle. It didn't matter. The warden officer was ready for him. As Caden descended upon him, the officer swept the point of his spear through a wide arc, forcing a retreat from Sarah. Then, in the same breath, it stepped back, driving the butt of its weapon skywards to intercept Caden without even glancing back to acknowledge his existence. Temujin's Western God hits you for 1,296 physical magical.
With just the haft?
He thought incredulously, the whole of his body weight held motionless on the rear end of the warden's spear as though he'd been impaled. If it had been the business end of the weapon, he probably would have been. He was to Temujin what Temujin's rank and file had been to him.
Caden!
Sarah shouted in alarm as the warden began to advance, finally tossed the young man away with nothing more than a flick of its wrist. Then just as quickly, it stopped. Its head turned in Caden's direction as he struggled to his feet, stone features twisting together into an expression of malice. The transformation alone was an unsettling sight, to say nothing of the fact that it was the first real emotion they'd seen from any warden.
Caden.
It repeated his name in an unnatural voice that seemed to come from everywhere at once. Attention now focused more on him than the immediate threat posed by Sarah.
The commander and the thief. You will suffer in measure to your authority.
Skill use! Grasp the world!
Caden cried in alarm. His heels dug into the cobblestone, bracing his body just in time to receive the point of his enemy's spear on an upraised shield arm. Temujin's Eastern God hits you for 891 physical magical. Perfect block. Shield destroyed. The shining spear tip, infused with the power of the enemy's technique, pierced his shield. It pierced his arm as well, but that was somewhat lower in the grand scheme of things compared to the fact that the enemy had nearly killed him through a perfect block. Right below the fact that the warden was readying for another attack, in fact.
Nathasere!
Caden invoked the runes of teleportation without a thought as he reached out a hand and stroked the nearby conflagration. It was a short jump, one that carried him barely a handful of feet to a burning pile of refuse at his opponent's rear. The jump was disorienting for him, but equally confusing for Temujin, who found himself spearing cobblestones rather than flesh. Neither distraction lasted long, however. The warden officer already whirling for another attack as Caden brought his sword up, point outstretched and level with his shoulder.
Skill use! Justice!
His body lunged forward under the control of his skill, the tip of his mage blade biting deep into the side torso of the terracotta warrior who had failed to arrest his charge. His body lingered there for a split second, before the grip on his sword twisted, a horrendous crunch accompanying the action as he slashed the now horizontal blade out of sight of the wounded boss monster, a bright line left in its wake. Your justice hit Temujin for 316 damage physical, reduced. Your justice heals you for 1,312 HP. Temujin roared in agony and fury, the haft of his spear sending Caden tumbling end over end once again. A regular attack rather than one of his special moves, the damage dealt by the swipe was comparatively minor, meant more for opening distance than causing serious injury. He'd pissed it off. More than that, Caden thought he'd actually hurt the warden. Pity he wouldn't have the chance to do it again. His shield hung in two halves from the remaining straps on his left arm, and the cooldown for justice was a full 60 seconds. And considering the warden had all but killed him in less than 10, nah, he'd be fine.
Not a chance,
Sarah shouted as Temujin began to advance upon Caden once more. Even in the warden's rage, her blows were not to be ignored, its attention drawn squarely in her direction after a few short exchanges. Its attacks were more wild this time, less elegant artistry and more terrible ferocity. It thrust and parried, swiped and retreated as the two began their dance once again. A dance with an abrupt hitch as Sarah took the lead.
Custom skill use! Psycho Dragon combo!
Temujin's Western God hits Desdemona for 717, physical magical. Something wasn't right. The counter had been fast. Too fast, in fact. In one fraction of an instant, Sarah was on the offense, her fists raised as she sought to land a variant of that same four-hit combo from a minute earlier. The next, Temujin hand thrust, the point of his spear struck deep into Sarah's belly, reducing her HP to an alarming low.
Is it?
Caden murmured, his eyes growing wide as he cut away the remnants of his shield.
Sarah! He is a bugger!
The girl's expression was one of total bafflement for just long enough to worry Caden. He could explain his theory further, of course, that the enemy before them was just like the armies Caden was now sure it commanded. You could fool it once, but the same trick would never work twice. It had suffered at the hands of his leap attack, then it had expertly countered his leap attack with Western God. Sarah had pummeled it half senseless, but the next time, it preempted the very first blow. Just as worries started to settle in, Sarah grinned. She sunk lower in her posture, hands coming up in a new form of guard as her eyes sought out those of her opponent.
Let me show you some new things, then.
What followed was a chain of skills, each thrown one after another with barely a second of gap between them. The point of her elbow thrust up against an exposed jawline, a hard kick to the left instep, an over-the-shoulder throw, even a flying sidekick that would have looked at home in any number of Bruce Lee films. She applied pressure with every move, adjusting her posture, stance, and positioning to keep him pinned with his back to one of the towering infernos that lined the city street.
It is over,
she declared, as Temujin slumped to a knee, the warden's HP bar down to the final hint of red.
Skill use!
Her skill choice was interrupted by a cough. Then another. And another. Unable to talk, she lashed out, taking another sliver off that insignificant tick of health. But she couldn't do enough, not as it seized upon her weakness, not as the hacking cough made any sort of skill use unbearable. So close, yet so far. Even damaged as he was, without Sarah, this was a lost battle. The warden would gut Caden if he were fool enough to advance without some sneaky tactic or well-thought-out plan, and he had neither. And even if he could, the only skill he had left to use that could do any damage at all was Southern Cross, an attack that would never land without Sarah in the wings drawing most of the warden's attention. There was only one thing to do, as much as he hated to do it.
Ilea,
Caden whispered, drawing on his mental fortitude as he formed the runic magic into a physical form. The stones of the street lifted, flying in large numbers directly towards Temujin, who predictably raised his guard at their approach. The projectile stopped short, however, soon joined by hundreds, then thousands more as the street became a stone wall, a several-foot-thick barrier that should buy him just long enough to... A crack like thunder disrupted Caden's plan, his wall exploding outward in a shower of rubble that peppered him with stinging but non-damaging debris. On the other side of the impact stood Temujin, none worse for the wear even as part of the stone wall collapsed just to his left.
"You have got to be," Caden said in despair.
He began another wall, then a second, a third, and a fourth, dispelling one of his own personal buffs to free up unused MP as he advanced. Each new spell was accompanied by the sound of an impact, of stone shattering into fragments at the hand of the Warden General. It was everything he could do to keep ahead of it, and even then, it might not be enough.
"Nathasere!"
Caden cried out, with everything he could muster. What he didn't do was focus. Simply speaking the runes was not enough to invoke their power, which was good, because Caden didn't want to. Instead, he knelt beside Sarah's crouched-down body and spoke two more words, hoping that the cracking flames and the officer's own attack would conceal the sound of his voice.
"Terry Antha."
One of his hands was outstretched, palm facing towards the wall as the warden broke through, the other wrapped tightly over Sarah's mouth, doing everything he could to muffle the sound of her coughs. For just a heartbeat, Caden thought they were dead. Temujin stared directly at them, violet-painted eyes all but glowing in the firelight as the warden loomed impressive and powerful. Then his head turned left, then right. The fury of its expression softened to mere frustration as one hand rose to its temple and it drew closed.
"Not the time to be meditating. Move, you dumb bastard, move,"
Caden inwardly begged. Summoning wall after wall had depleted the majority of his remaining MP, and his illusionary barrier was not a cheap spell to begin with. 40 seconds at the most. That pool of time ticked by both faster and slower than any period in Caden's life. His MP ticked down with exaggerated slowness, each sip from the pool an eternity, only for vast swaths of this to vanish in as long as it took his eyes to focus on the officer before them. Temujin was searching for them. Of that much Caden was fairly certain. Some sort of psychic connection with his troops. There was little sense to search for them on foot when he could order his troops to do it for him. 10 seconds left. They wouldn't make it. The angry sound of metal biting into stone opened Temujin's eyes, the warden officer looking down in befuddlement at the slim dagger embedded in his shoulder. He stared just long enough to watch as a second, then a third dagger joined the first before turning their attention to the obvious source. A heavyset man clad in black leather, perched precariously on a rooftop only a few buildings down the street. Temujin's reply was not one of words, but of actions. The now dirt and gravel road grinding under his footsteps as he advanced, first at a brisk walk, then a run, as he saw Shifty starting to retreat. Caden turned as the warden passed. The barrier kept interposed between the two of them until well after the warden had darted down an alleyway. Until well after Caden was sure they were safe.
"Could you be any more irresponsible?"
he started to say, his eyes growing wide as he looked down at Sarah's limp body. At some point during their concealment, the smoke had finished the job, draining the last remnants of her HP and putting her into bleed out. Another minute, and she'd be dead.
"You know,"
Caden grumbled as he snapped his fingers and searched his bag for a set of bandages.
At this point, we are even for that whole getting you kidnapped thing.
He adjusted her body to lay flat so he could bandage her more easily, but not before making a show of nodding her head to what he'd been saying.
I'm glad you agree.
We destroyed the temple altar in the city, plus the whole building is kind of on fire, so you should respawn in Sune, assuming everything goes well. If not, well, you've got my number, right? He resisted the urge to bob her head again as he tightened the last of the bandages, watching as her HP slowly crept up towards full.
When you get there, let me know you are safe, and once you're ready, I think you and I need to have a talk.
He smiled down at her as light began to pour from her body, the sign that she was about to return to her respawn point.
Wish me luck, Dez.
Chapter 23
Shifty, you still alive?
Caden asked.
Yeah,
the thief's voice replied across Caden's headset, a bit more ragged and fearful than Caden was used to.
Turns out that stone men can jump, though.
Well, at least one of them can. Sure you lost him?
Must have, because my comms are back on. Thought the persistent bastard was going to camp my hiding spot until it burned down around me, but something else got his attention,
Shifty replied.
I'm not even sure I want to know what that was. But thanks, I owe you.
The other man's mocking grin was almost palpable over the call.
Wait, you were there? I was just trying to save the pretty girl.
Caden rolled his eyes and turned his attention back to his display. First, he sent Shifty a party invite. Once that was done, he reopened his party chat.
Michael, Ash, you two all right?
Ash replied after a brief pause.
Barely. We've downed some potions, but the smoke is canceling out all of our health regen, and then some.
I'm about the same, Caden admitted with a wince.
They didn't have long before the smoke inhalation upgraded to major.
Did you?
Yes, Caden,
Michael snapped.
We got the enemy caster, yes.
Whether she knew the source of tension between the two men or not, Dinah wasn't saying anything about it.
Turns out, he could resurrect their soldiers, so it is good we got him when we did. Score one for the good guys.
I'll take it,
he agreed.
How far are you from the sewer entrance?
As the crow flies? Not far at all. But most of the paths that were set up earlier are collapsed by now, and the ones that don't have warden soldiers in the way. We might just have to burst through the back of a house somewhere.
Yeah, I see you on my map now, Caden replied. We'll come to you, then find a way through together.
Roger that,
Dinah replied. It didn't take long for Caden to get to Shifty. He ran where he could, and abused his flame walk spell whenever an obstacle impeded his progress. Past that, however, things began to slow dramatically. Just as Dinah had suggested, the warden troops were everywhere, occupying nearly every intersection and crossing listed on Caden's map. The two of them managed to skirt a few patrols, by way of alley or an as-of-yet unburned rooftop, but at a certain point, it became clear that the wardens were not going to let them simply waltz into the sewers. He had to give the enemy officer credit. It was a decent enough plan. Most of the warden troop they'd already come across were wounded to varying degrees, and Caden knew that it would only get worse for them. The smoke was a killer for the players, but the heat would be what eventually did in the wardens. By dawn, most of the soldiers in the city would be destroyed. So rather than cower them in the coolest locations, in an attempt to save them, Temujin had decided to dedicate hundreds of them to make sure that the players who had killed his spellcaster, humans who had nearly killed him, would have nowhere to run. If the plan hadn't been directed at killing him, Caden might have given it a grudging thumbs up.
Yeah, this isn't happening,
Caden said from deeper into an alleyway as Shifty kept guard from its mouth.
We've got warden troops everywhere. Temujin knows we can't wait him out.
Who?
Michael asked.
Temujin,
Caden repeated before he realized his mistake.
The enemy officer.
Ah.
So we try fighting our way out?
A small cough accompanied Dinah's reply, a worrying sign of what was to come.
Mix it up a little, yeah.
Caden grinned in spite of himself.
Got a weak point in mind?
Only about 20 of them between us and the sewer entrance if we go this way.
A glowing line appeared on Caden's display, drawn from Michael's current position to the sewer entrance.
We'll cut through them and pile in behind you then, Shifty said, throwing a glance back to Caden for his approval. A better plan than I've got, he shrugged. You all ready?
As we're going to be,
Dinah replied. Michael agreed.
No sense wasting time.
Caden strolled to the edge of the alleyway, taking up a position alongside Shifty. His heart was pounding, and he desperately wanted to take just a few seconds, just long enough to calm his frayed nerves. But Michael was right. Every second they wasted here was a second closer to asphyxiation.
On three.
Three,
Dinah shot back impatiently.
Just outside their alleyway, the warden troops jerked in unison, as though a universal puppeteer had tugged their strings all at once. Their heads turned north, to where Dinah and Michael must have begun their assault. The behavior was markedly different from the haphazard warfare they'd encountered on their sortie from the royal quarter. No doubt Temujin had time to focus this time, without the distraction of Sarah trying to punch him repeatedly in the face.
Go, Caden instructed.
Shifty didn't need the encouragement, his knives already flying at the foes guarding a nearby alleyway that was their initial destination. On both ends of the street, the focus of the warden troops shifted. Eyes focused on Shifty, and then on Caden. Metal weapons gleamed in the firelight as soldiers brought them to a ready, and the mob charged.
Move! Move!
Caden insisted, the back of his hand slapping at Shifty's right shoulder until the man got the hint and let Caden sprint past him. One of the three soldiers guarding the entrance to the alley was still alive when Caden hit him, the flat side of his replacement kite shield striking with enough force to bear the soldier clear off his feet. That was one thing too many players forgot when it came to Babel. For all its mechanics, sometimes a simple shove could do more than the best skill usage.
Earthwall!
The words fell from Caden's mouth as Shifty ran past him. With so many on their heels, this wall wouldn't last much longer than the ones he had cast earlier, but it didn't have to. A minute, perhaps half a minute, would be enough to keep them from getting mobbed down as they cleaned up the immediate opposition waiting on the far side of the alley. Only two blocks had separated Caden and Shifty from Michael and Dinah. During better times, he could have run the whole of that distance in a matter of a minute, but with warden soldiers blocking their path at every turn, it took them closer to three. 3 minutes with the timer counting ever downward.
Are you guys almost to the entrance? Caden demanded.
Just about,
came Ash's reply, the words filled with exertion, the clang of swords audible in the background.
Good, because we're coming up on your tail now, he said.
Try not to be too close, Ash replied. We've got a lot of them right behind...
Right behind? Caden asked.
When there was no immediate response, his eyebrows knitted together in consternation.
Ash! Ash! Dinah? Michael?
Well, that can't be good, Shifty said with his usual mastery of understatement.
Caden wasn't sure whether to laugh or to glare. Instead, he turned his attention to the map in front of him.
She's right. We probably don't want to follow their exact path. This way.
Even on the alternate route, they had to cut their way through a half-dozen warden soldiers and barricade out over twice that number before they were firmly back on track. Only a few hundred feet, a single long alleyway, separated them from the sewer entrance. Only a few hundred feet when Caden's map went blank, then vanished entirely.
Stop! Stop!
He shouted, forced to physically grab Shifty as the other man tried to surge past him.
We're almost, Shifty started, before he realized the danger. An officer! Damn it! Is there another way?
Not back that way, Caden said,
jerking his thumb in the direction they'd just come. The warden troops that had been chasing them were chasing them no longer. Instead, they had closed ranks with one another, forming up in defensive posture along every possible route at their rear. They weren't pursuing, merely cutting off retreat.
A trap?
An invitation.
The voice echoed from every surface, unmistakable in its origin, even if Caden could not yet lay eyes on its source.
Well, how can we refuse that? Shifty asked with a tone that spoke volumes about how much he wanted to.
As they advanced, so too did the warden soldiers behind them, the stone men taking up a position at the mouth of the alley. There wasn't much point in trying to run, Caden knew. Temujin had guessed their exit strategy. Even if they tried for a different sewer grate, the officer would have his minions herd them around until he could get in front of them, assuming they didn't die of inhalation before they could reach their next destination. The alley ahead of them opened to a public common area where overturned carts and other flaming debris had been pushed aside or stomped out to leave a wide open space. Nearly 100 warden soldiers occupied the plaza, with Temujin at its center, mere feet from the exposed sewer grate that should have been their salvation. Ash and Michael were there as well, guarded, but still armed, despite the horde surrounding them just out of arm's reach. Considering Temujin could probably kill the four of them from full health with ease, it somehow seemed more humiliating that he let them keep their weapons, despite having the upper hand. As if taunting them to make an attempt.
Crawling from the madness you've wrought and the crimes you have committed, like the vermin you are. How fitting for a group of bloodline descendants.
Technically, it is a waterway,
was Caden's only reply. Temujin was not amused.
You have done unspeakable things to bring us to this point, and further terrors to keep your crimes from being remedied, but no longer.
The Warden General paced as he spoke, his spear tapping the ground with every odd step as he snarled out his words.
I know you do not have it with you, but of you four, you three have touched it.
Temujin's gaze swept over the three men of the group, excluding only Ash from his wrathful stare.
You will tell me where you have hidden it.
I don't even know what it is,
Caden replied with equal venom.
You killed the emissaries Duke Medicis sent to treat with you, so how the hell are we even supposed to—
You know what you did!
Temujin cried, the sheer power and weight of his voice enough to send an involuntary shiver down Caden's spine.
You can deny it all you will, but I sense it on the three of you, and the warrior woman I fought earlier as well. You're not going to live. Why spend your last moments lying?
The warrior general tipped his chin up, looming over Caden and Shifty as the last two were forced into line.
Tell me where you have hidden the Liar King's shackles, and I will allow it to be swift.
For several long moments, no one spoke. Then, just as Temujin's stone face twisted in fury, Shifty replied,
You know, shackles were never really my thing. If you're into silk rope and blindfolds, though, boy, do I know the place for you.
Anger turned to confusion as the warden officer stalked down the line, his powerful physique dominating in the presence of the more squat and rotund father of two.
What are you blathering about? Rope? Blindfolds? I care not for these things.
Ah, my mistake, Shifty smiled with a sickening sweetness. But if shackles are your thing, I might know a solution.
Go on,
Temujin said impatiently.
Well, it just sounds to me like you're overthinking things with all this focus on domination and command. Message Avaricia. She knows the place the shackles are hidden. Just down in the sewers in front of us, in fact. You can send your army to go check if you'd...
Enough with your nonsense and your lies,
Temujin growled. The back of one stone hand struck viciously across Shifty's right cheek, a blow that took the carnivalist off his feet and drained nearly half his remaining HP.
"Okay, okay,"
Shifty said, rolling onto his hands and knees. There was a long pause as the older man struggled for breath, then, at last, took to only a single knee as he looked into the stone face of Temujin.
"All I'm saying is that you don't need chains to go fu-"
A sharp crack of air and a flash of light interrupted the last of what Shifty had to say as a trio of figures appeared at rear or the line. Each was chanting as they materialized, and within moments, more magical energy shaped the battlefield. Warden soldiers winked out of existence under the influence of Celia's crowd control spells, while an enormous wall of wood and iron appeared out of nothing at Roberta's command, separating the players from the Warden General. Most importantly were the words from Victoria, a benediction sweeter than any prayer Caden had ever heard.
"And return us home. Word of recall."
"Really, Shifty? That was the best you could come up with to work it into conversation?"
"Hey, I'd like to see you do better,"
the rogue shot back at Celia, his tongue sticking out of his mouth in a decidedly childlike fashion.
"Besides, it could have been worse. My backup was a Viagra joke."
"How do you function?"
Celia cried, to the laughter of the assembled players. It felt good to be able to laugh, Caden decided, even at Shifty's terrible jokes. Despite Celia's annoyance, Caden thought the carnivalist was rather clever. At the time, he thought Shifty was just venting his anger with his crude rebuttals, but in retrospect, he probably should have caught on the moment he'd used the name of Celia's account. No one called her Avaricia. He might have been a bit clumsy in his wording, but Shifty was smart enough to think of Victoria, and unlike Caden, he'd been able to come up with a plan to reach her while surrounded by the enemy. As the laughter began to die down, Caden paced slowly away from his companions, walking to the edge of the forested hill to look out over the city only a few miles away. There was almost nothing left. In the hours since their retreat, dusk had begun to settle over the city, but the sun was almost entirely obscured by the plumes of black smoke rising from the walled city. Some of the intense blaze had already managed to burn itself out, but other parts of the city, particularly the royal quarter, were fully ablaze. The Duke hadn't been happy when they'd all but battered down the doors of his palace to demand the services of his sorceress, and he imagined the young royal would be positively beside himself once he learned what had been done to his city under the guise of saving it. Not for the first time, Caden wondered if he'd made the right decision. They could have left the city to the wardens, who probably would have passed through it without a care once it was no longer a threat. It wasn't like the wardens were going to loot the place. How many homes had they lost? How many people, both human and Elon, were there? People like Sarah, who no longer had a place to call their own. It could be rebuilt, he knew. And by almost all military standards, it was an outstanding victory. Thousands of warden troops dead for a few hundred of their own, but even still, it felt bittersweet.
"You okay?"
Caden turned to find Silver on her approach, a wary smile upon her pursed lips.
"You're worrying about me for the second time in one day. Do you know something I don't?"
"I know that you're being a jerk right now," she laughed, tucking a few strands of loose hair behind her ear before she continued. "Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair."
"Not where my mind would have gone," Caden replied.
"No?"
"No. Ozymandias is all about hubris and decay. This,"
he waved a hand in the direction of the still flaming wreckage they'd left behind.
"I am become Gigabyte, destroyer of systems."
"I am like 90% sure that isn't how that quote goes."
"Only if you were a Philistine. Reboot is a classic,"
Caden laughed softly, then turned away from the scene of destruction.
"Is everyone ready to go?"
Silver glanced back over her shoulder before replying.
"I think we should give them a few more minutes at least. The wardens aren't going anywhere until the morning, and it looks like everyone could use some time to breathe and get rid of some stress.
You're probably right, he conceded.
Always am, Silver grinned. Humble, too.
The two stood in silence for several minutes then, watching the fire across from them as the sky dimmed and the stars appeared above them. A ribbon of green and blue trailed across the sky, the colors too vibrant to have ever appeared on Earth. The horror and the majesty of Babel in a single image.
That was a brave thing you did, she said at last.
Why, thank...
Stupid, Silver cut him off. But brave. Caden glanced in her direction.
You don't think we should have?
I didn't say that.
The girl laughed again, rubbing her eyes as a waft of smoke stung them.
I probably would have, too. Guess we're both stupid.
Yeah,
Caden chuckled along with her.
I guess we are.
Chapter 24 Day 12, morning. Resources, F, 640-20, Z, 780+10, M, 275+5, I, 680+20, P, +40, R, +20.
Hey.
Sarah's soft voice was reproduced by his headset like a whisper in his ear. Gone was the usual vim and verve of the blue-haired girl, color seemingly drained from her cheeks.
Hey,
he replied in the same quiet tone, unsure of precisely what to say or to ask, despite being the one who requested the video call. As expected, Sarah had respawned in Sune barely an hour after her death in Ilo, but in the day that had passed, that had been the only information the girl had been willing to provide. His calls had been unanswered. His messages received no reply. It was only when he threatened to expend some of their limited resources to teleport to Sune that she finally relented and accepted his call. She hadn't taken her loss well. That much he could plainly see. The displayed reflection of the ordinarily immaculate girl was instead ragged, her hair untouched, her eyes sunken. Though she stared straight into the mirror to give him his video feed, her own eyes were offset slightly to the left, unwilling, or perhaps unable, to look at the image of him being streamed onto her glasses. Look, they both said at once, the jinx barely enough to force her to crack a smile. Each jostled for a few moments, trying to let the other go first, before at last Caden took the initiative.
I'm sorry for being so pushy. I just... We needed to talk.
I know,
Sarah said quietly. Her throat bobbed as she swallowed hard, nostrils flaring as she took a deep breath before continuing.
I screwed up.
You did,
Caden admitted, even as the kinder side of him railed against the honesty.
But we all screw up sometimes, and in the end, no blood, no report.
I nearly got you killed. Nearly got all of you.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, Caden shrugged a little. We didn't have to chase you, so the only person you nearly got killed was yourself. And in the end, we destroyed the enemy caster, which we probably wouldn't have managed any other way. We gambled, and we won.
That doesn't...
No, it doesn't make it all right, he agreed. But I'm also not your officer or your leader. I'm your friend. I'm not calling to scold you.
The girl on the other end of the call quivered, one hand momentarily distorting his vision of her as she adjusted her glasses long enough to wipe away a tear.
Thank you.
My pleasure, darling.
Caden, your rural is showing.
I suppose it is, he chuckled. You know, if there had been any other way...
Sarah held up a hand to forestall any further words.
Caden, it's fine. I get what you did. I'm just sorry about the way I reacted. The dizzy sheep was just... It was important to me.
Because of Simbal? He asked warily.
Among other things, yeah.
Sarah sighed briefly, then studied the image of him on her display.
How much have you figured out?
Only a little, Caden admitted. That you used to be involved in PvP for one thing. She winced.
So the bad part, then?
I figured, but didn't want to assume, he replied, choosing his words carefully and studying Sarah closely as he did. If you'd been a duelist,